They have blessed and helped birth Kingdom Watchmen a few years ago, and I want to thank you guys for all the encouragement, for the support, for this house, and for everything you've done to help Kingdom Watchmen get birthed and to really bring forth what God had given me in dreams and visions, and many of you people who were real prayer warriors in this area. So I'd like to introduce Tim and Robin. Would you stand? They are our pastors and teachers. Praise God. And Tim's going to open us in prayer and say whatever.
Okay. Welcome. It's an honor to have you all here tonight. I was just thinking as I was sitting there, in a very real way, this is Connecticut's front line of defense, and also other states that are represented here as well. And it's an honor to have you. It's an honor to have the Hamels with us. It's an honor to have Marios back with us here, and from Cyprus. And you know, I was reading earlier today in Joshua, where it says that God told Joshua when they crossed over that each member of the tribes, each of the leaders, were to take a stone, and when they got to the other side of the Jordan, they were to put down the stones where they were going to camp for the night. And as they did that, they were to pile it up so that in future generations, if the children say, "What are these stones here for?" they were to tell their children, "The stones were here because the Lord put back the Jordan River as the Ark of the Covenant went through." So where the presence of God went, there was a rolling back of anything in front of it. And I think in a very real way, many of you, many of the leaders here tonight, have been going and looking for those memorial stones around this nation. And we just honor all of you that have been putting in years and years of hard work in this. So let's just come before the Lord. Father, tonight, I don't ask that you come down, but I ask that we would come up. And Lord, I just ask that we would come into your presence with thanksgiving in our hearts, with praise. I ask, Lord, that we would see ourselves seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Lord, I ask that as we encounter you in those places, we would be able to bring your glory down as we step back into our places. So, Father, we just bless you. We welcome your angelic hosts. We welcome the audiences of heaven, Lord, the men in white linen, the revolutionaries that are watching us, that cloud of witnesses, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for letting them be a part of this as we join together in worship tonight. Just pray that you would be glorified in everything that's done tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
And next I'd like to introduce Marios Elenis. He's our senior leader, and he and his wife and three children are living in Cyprus. I just saw his three children for the first time in a year. And you know what happens when you go to Cyprus? You get really tall and strong.
Thank you, Janet. Good evening, everyone. I don't know how strong or tall we get, but we're here. Got in last night, and I heard that there was a rifle on the stage, and I rushed in to see it. I was envisioning a sniper rifle with a scope. Then I remembered it's America, and we have issues with guns. My Cypriot mindset tricked me. Anyway, it's an honor to be here, and such a joy to have the Hamels back. And we're really expecting great things because we know you're carrying something for us and for the region. We live on a mountain in Cyprus, on the tallest mountain range, the Troilus mountain range, and we're at about maybe 4,000 feet. And every day I walk this trail, this road that leads to a dam, and then from there it leads to a waterfall. And sometimes I go all to the dam and come back. Sometimes I go all the way to the waterfall, depending on strength and height and what we ate that day. But The last few weeks, I felt a very strong weight on this, on these meetings, and a burden to pray. The drum and fife weren't playing in the background. I'm in the wilderness, out in the middle of nowhere, really. But I just felt the presence of God and the weight of heaven on this gathering this weekend. It's historic, and I believe that there will be transformation, not just in us, but through our co-laboring that will impact New England and this nation. And so we're really grateful for this opportunity to be together, and it's a great joy to be able to participate in this and to work together with you. We're not here to spectate, are we? We're here to just go in together and go up together and go deep and high and wide. So what a joy. Hallelujah. Madam General.
Next, I'd like to introduce John and Jolene. Many of you know them. Most of you know them. If you'll stand. Thank you, God. So they are with Lamplighter Ministries. They will be ministering this weekend. And most of you do know them because they've been here a few times before. And they have been on this journey through the 13 colonies since July 2nd, from Florida right up the coast. They've been up and then Albany and Vermont and New Hampshire in the last couple of days. And it is such an honor and a privilege to be part of this. When it was hatched down in Pennsylvania, I can't remember where I was. Valley Forge, of course, yes. And there was a commissioning of many of people who were going to take part of this. And I was so excited because, as most of you know, I've had so many dreams that have to do with what's happening, with the revolution that's coming, that is a parable to the American Revolution and everything that's happening. So we know that here in New England, everything is just about to burst forth. And John and Jolene were given everything that has happened has come through prophetic words and in the spirit. They're commissioning to do this trip, and for them to pick it up and agree to do it. And this just, I can't even count everything that you people have talked about and that people here have seen, how the prophetic words have come together for such a time as this. It is just amazing. And he's going to tell you about it. So after we worship, we're having all the introductions in the beginning, as I said, so that after the worship, John just gets up and goes into it, because he is clearly commissioned to do this and to lead this. And we are so grateful to both of you for taking this assignment at this time. It's glorious. Next is, I would like to introduce Patrick and his team. They're the worship team for this evening. And we thank you and we bless you. And I know it's going to be great. We have one way that we're going to start now. If everybody would stand, we are going to begin this with the Lion of Judah roar. The Lion of Judah was the lawgiver and the praise, and that goes first. So after this roar, we're going to do it three times. We then will go into worship, but this will set us right into that governmental setting of getting everything in order. So in three, we're going to have three Lion of Judah roars. One, two, three. Roar! One, two, three. Roar! One, two, three.
Let's just stay in this place of worship. Worship God in spirit and in truth tonight. Just allow God to cause your spirit to ascend before the throne. Take your place tonight with redeemed human beings, with the angels of the Lord, gazing on the beauty, the majesty, the throne of God. See Him in His glory. See Him in His justice. See His glory come down. Just very gently, let's begin to lift our voices and sing in the Spirit. Let your spirit soar with the Lord. Just sing a new song to the Lord. Namaso amayande koramamaya namaso raye kiyo ayande kiya Once again, be lifted high. Come on, this is Connecticut's anthem to the Lord. This is New England's anthem to the Lord tonight. Can't hear you. Sing to the Lord. Sing from your heart. I didn't hear that. Say it again. Prophesy to Connecticut tonight. Prophesy to Washington, D.C. No king but Jesus. Amen. Yes, Lord. You alone be lifted high. You may be seated. Well, it is a dream come true to be with you all tonight. I know Marios is an apostle. I know that he hears from the Lord. It touched my heart deeply to know that you were praying from the mountains of Cyprus. Rick Ridings has been praying from Jerusalem. There have been saints all across this nation praying for you, praying for this night and this weekend. Because there's just a sense that God is doing something unprecedented. I don't know about you, but the more I step into the glory, the more I realize how small I am and how big He is. There's a weight to God's glory here tonight. Now, I want you to stand back up to your feet, and I want to do what I like to call an Elijah experiment. God's okay with you experimenting. He wants you to move with Him and know Him, and some things you learn just by discovery, by experimentation. You know how Elijah said, "As surely as the Lord lives before whom I stand, no rain or dew all these years except at my word," right? You ever tried that when you're on vacation at the beach in Old Saybrook? It starts raining. "No rain, Lord." You ever command the cars to part like Moses commanded the waters to part, and all of a sudden you like have free course down the highway, or you find just the perfect parking space? Just a little ways, small things in which God establishes trust with you. Well, in a moment we're going to raise our hands again, but I want you to raise your hand very slowly. And I just want you to see where the manifest presence and glory of God is. He's not far from us. The Word of God says He's not far from us. So, Lord, we just ask that You cause our hands to feel. Cause our hearts to understand. Holy Spirit, we welcome You. This is not our meeting. This is Your meeting. Now reveal Your glory. Come in Your glory and reveal Your glory tonight. Just go ahead and lift your hands up and see if you just sense. Just put your hands down and just raise them again. And this time really feel, just be sensitive and feel. Yep, it's right there. I ask that You fill everybody right now in Jesus' name. Fill us with Your presence. Whoa, fill us with Your glory. How many of you are feeling the weight of His glory? Just raise your hands. Now, we just want to stay in this tonight, okay? If we do nothing else, so listen, we'll be sharing some things, doing some things, but, you know, if you are checking out to be with Jesus, just come back for the end, okay? Hopefully He'll be here with us too. But I just want to welcome you to experience God for yourself during this time. Hear His voice. Some of you right now, it's literally you're experiencing something you haven't maybe experienced before. Your spirit is just your human spirit. Made in the image of God, is being filled. And as your spirit's being filled, it's like you're expanding. I give you permission to just expand into the full stature tonight of who you are, who God made you to be. Smith Wigglesworth said, I'm a whole lot bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Some of you might be feeling like you're just ascending before the throne. Just allow the Lord to bring you. It's time for His eagles to soar. Some of you, it might just be that the Lord is taking His fire from heaven, coals from the altar, and sealing your mouth with fire. Putting His words in your mouth. Father, I invoke the covenant that You swore to my forefathers, even to the pilgrims, Lord. This is my covenant with them, says the Lord. Isaiah 50:51, somewhere it's in there. Trust me. Isaiah 59:21. My spirit which is upon you, my words which I have placed in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your offspring, nor out of the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says the Lord. From now and forever, God is keeping His remnant, bearing witness to His covenant that He swore to our forefathers. My spirit which is on you, my words which I have placed in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your offspring or your offspring's offspring, says the Lord. From now and forever. We remind you, Father, tonight, the covenants that our forefathers made with you. The pilgrims here who fell on their faces in the harbor of Provincetown and committed the land and government to your glory and the advancement of the Christian faith. We remind you of their sacrifices, God. We remind you tonight of the covenant of the Huguenots down Fort Caroline, now Jacksonville, Florida. Came over for the same reason as the pilgrims. Jean Ribault died chanting Psalm 132, begging God that this land would be a dwelling place for the mighty God of Jacob. The first Protestant martyrs on American soil. Martyred by Spanish conquistadors. He died praying, Lord, remember the afflictions of your servant. How he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob, no rest for my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty God of Jacob. Remember Jean Ribault's afflictions. Remember King David's afflictions, God, who wrote the psalm. Remember the afflictions, the saints in this house tonight, God, who've truly made a covenant with you by sacrifice. Fill our mouths with your word. Fill our mouths with your spirit. Remember the cries and the prayers of native son Jonathan Edwards, catalyst of the first great awakening. Started a prayer chain that goes around the world to this day. I'm asking, Father, that you remember his prayers for the lost and for the slumbering body of Christ, and move in power. Bring your anointing of awakening to bear upon society again. Release this anointing of holy conviction, God, that Edwards carried. Lord, where the paralysis of the grays would be broken through, where the false illumination would give way to the holy illumination of the fire from heaven, God. Lord, I believe that even this weekend, there is a great cloud of witnesses that have joined together for this occasion. Bring to bear upon the earth everything that they lived for and gave their lives for in Yeshua God. Turn this nation again. In the name of Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Some of you know of our journey. How many of you, again, just so I can see, how many of you are from out of state? Oh my goodness, look at that. Once again, just shout out where you're from.
New York.
Where in New York? Name the city and the state. Well, don't stop there. We got Philly. Come on. Nashville, Tennessee. Who else? Okay, so the rest of you are from Connecticut. If you're from Connecticut and you're not from this area, tell us where you're from. Stratford, Connecticut. Good. East Haven, right on. Milford. Trumbull, Hartford, Bethany, Connecticut, Norwalk, Moogus, Buddhist, okay, Orange, West Haven, all right, East Haven, West Haven, North Haven, South Haven. Wouldn't you like to be a haven too? All right. Wonderful. Well, we just want to welcome you, and we're so grateful that you have welcomed us. And every time we come here to to Valley Forge Assembly, where the Army of God convenes for Connecticut, where the Army of God convenes and gets trained and raised up, and the breath of God comes and strengthens us, and all of a sudden we walk in a little bit challenged, a little bit down, struggling with some things, and all we walk out with a breaker anointing ready to take the world for Jesus. So grateful to be here. This really feels like home to us. And we are just so delighted to be with you guys tonight. No king but Jesus. We've long lived in New England.
especially with this dream that God would flood the land with a third great awakening. I remember back when I lived on Cape Cod as a photojournalist for the Cape Cod Times, I would drive around during the day and take pictures, and in between assignments I'd be listening to Dutch Sheets and Chuck Pierce and Cindy Jacobs, and I'd be praying, and occasionally get to go out to Provincetown or Plymouth and discover more of my heritage in the Lord. And, with my forefathers coming over on the Mayflower. And back then, the Lord began to speak to me about a day coming when he was going to come through the geographic east gate of this nation. How amazing that this day is here. We have had two great awakenings that have united the East Coast, the geographic East Gate. The first great awakening and the second great awakening. And after that, we really haven't seen much as far as a unifying move of the Holy Spirit through the original 13 colonies. After the Civil War, the breach between North and South, the breach between the body of Christ in the North and South kind of remained. And I really believe that as we have sojourned with the Lord in these past 4 or 5 years, we've seen those dividing walls come down. And we have seen how God is knitting together and unifying North and South in a move of Holy Spirit awakening. It was interesting when we started our journey, we started the journey at Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, the sister church to Valley Forge, Old Saybrook. Our friends Jamie Fitt and his family. Jamie, raise your hand. Be leading us in worship tomorrow. We're glad you're here. Hey, how about the worship team tonight? Can we thank God for the profound time in the Spirit we've had? Thank you for leading us with excellence before the throne. Well, Jamie and us, Jolene and me, conspired to do this gathering in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. We went to the place where the army of God was in dire straits, did look like we were going to be tanked, looked like the dream of a free nation called America was going to be, blitzed by the British. And, this ragtag army of, accountants and shipbuilders and farmers, and there wasn't one real soldier in the midst, really. They made their way solemnly to Valley Forge to wait out the winter. Most of them were sick. Most of them were barely clothed. They had threads. There were wounds that they were tending to. They were starving. There was no food. Congress wasn't able to give them even a salary or feed them. And it looked like total, utter devastation. How many of you know God answers prayer? Legend has it, I believe it is true, that George Washington would go out in the field 5 a.m. every morning in the cold winter snow, and he would cry out to the Lord for his troops. He did a very courageous thing. He not only cried out in prayer for them, but he hired people to train. People who were competent in engagement. They learned how to fire their rifles. It ceased to be ready, fire, aim, like some of us when we pray. They began to learn how to march and not break rank, but to move as one. They began to learn battlefield tactics. Now, this is in the middle of major snowfalls in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, where they were shivering as they were being taught. And their wounds were being tended to, and most of them were sick. But they made it through. By the miracle of God, they made it through. In fact, you probably have heard the story, because I know I've told the story, and other people have too, about two-thirds of the way through the winter, they were all starving as they were training, and God sent a school of fish up the river a month and a half early, and they captured the fish, and their starvation broke. They were preserved to make it through the rest of the winter. Can I tell you, when the generals are praying for you, your provision is secured. That's why I'm so glad that Marios and Rick Ridings and some of these others, I know Dutch Sheets has been on the wall for us, and Chuck Pierce has been on the wall for us, and our founding mother, Janet Leboutier, has been in prayer for us. So we went to this place to see the army of God in this hour raised up. We knew that if we went to Valley Forge, that God would breathe on us, and all of a sudden the dry bones would begin to live and come together, and we would actually have a resurrected army of God. I believe I'm looking at the resurrected army of God tonight. I believe I'm looking at a group of competent soldiers, special forces, trained in battle, ready to go and take the land. Spiritual revolutionaries. So we invited Rick Ridings to come. Rick and Patty Ridings came to be with us, and they had done a 13 colonies prayer journey 17 years beforehand in 1997 and 1998. I don't know if you were around back then, but if you were, I was a young guy. Still feel like a young guy, thank you very much. But I really was. I was a young guy back then, and just felt like revival was right at hand, and I couldn't wait to step into it. I mean, we had gone to the grave of Jonathan Edwards. We had gone to the places where Edwards preached in Northampton. We'd gone to Whitfield's places, where the well of George Whitfield, where, you know, he would prophesy and declare and pray over Massachusetts. We went to all the wells, and we said, God, do it again. Bring a move of your spirit again. We felt like it was right at hand, you know. And then when Rick and Patty Ridings came through with this 13 colonies prayer journey, you know, we heard through the grapevine that he had a vision, and he confirmed it. He had a vision that the East Coast would be fully ablaze with the move of the Holy Spirit. And when we actually got to be with Rick, he privately told us, you know, I mean, this is when Brownsville was breaking forth, Toronto was breaking forth, the Argentine revival was coming to America to set us ablaze. Here goes Rick Ridings. I'm praying that revival not come. Rick? What do you mean, you know? He says, here's what the Lord showed me. If revival were to actually come right now, unless it penetrated through to the roots, unless the roots of our nation are dealt with, the revival will be superficial, and it will end in judgment, even war on our own soil. So while everybody else is praying, Lord, send revival, Rick and Patty are saying, Lord, hold off a little bit. And it's interesting that after the 13 colonies prayer journey that they did, instead of sweeping move of the Holy Spirit with multitudes coming into the kingdom, we got Lou Engel calling us to fast and pray. Repent.
Lou Engel and the Call Movement, fasting and prayer, repentance to deal with the roots. We got Cindy Jacobs establishing spiritual warfare networks to deal with the roots of the nation state by state. We got Mike Bickle starting a house of prayer movement, so that when God finally comes, we can hold his presence on earth as it is in heaven. God began to deal with our roots in a profound way, corporately and even personally. How many of you have had the roots of your own lives under scrutiny by the Lord? This one can stay. This one's got to go. Wait, I like this one, Lord. Okay, I'll be back next year. How many of you know what I'm talking about? To me, the most profound expression of dealing with the societal roots that have held us in paralysis has been this move to divorce Baal. Restore covenant with Jesus Christ apart from all idolatry. You guys know our story of how this thing culminated on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, where we presented the Lord with 10,000 altars of historic idolatry that our leaders and teams had gone to all throughout the nation. How many of you participated in that in some way? Yeah, many of you in this room. We gathered together and at the Lincoln Memorial, and we didn't just want to receive the divorcement from Baal. We wanted to remarry Jesus. We reminded the Lord of the covenant of the pilgrims and the Huguenot covenant and the covenants of our forefathers, known and unknown. And we said, God, marry our land again. Forgive us where we have broken covenant with you. Forgive us where we've been like Hosea's bride. In our puppy love, we thought we wanted you, but when you didn't come the way we expected, we just went after other loves. And you know how on July 4th, we presented the Lord with a declaration of covenant. And 50 days later, God saw fit to send an earthquake measuring 5.8 on the Richter scale to Washington, D.C. Cracked the Washington Monument, which was so amazing because we were believing God to crack the hard shell of demonic resistance. It's a word Rick Ridings had. He saw a nut over Washington, D.C. and saw God crack that nut. He said, when North and South come together in covenant and in prayer, it's going to have the effect of cracking that hard shell of demonic resistance. So we cried out at the Lincoln Memorial, Lincoln, who stood for union. We prayed for a move of awakening and union and asked God to crack that nut. And God sent an earthquake unprecedented to Washington, D.C., confirmed that we'd received that divorce from Baal, confirmed that we had received the restoration of covenant with Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you by the word of the Lord, now that covenant has been restored, it's time for covenant to be established. And that's what this glory procession is all about. We gathered with Rick and Patty, and they put their fingers to the wind to just feel what the Holy Spirit was saying, sense what the Holy Spirit was saying. And we had heard for years. I sit on a council of prophetic elders. Jolene and I sit on a council of elders with Rick and Patty, and they kept saying how America is turning for the worse, turning for the worse. They're watching. They're praying from Zion. America is turning for the worse. Suddenly, when they come to Valley Forge, they feel something different. They say, I feel like this move of God that we have been believing God for is actually here. That's pretty cool. And the whole gathering turned into this commissioning service for another 13 colonies prayer journey, calling all of us there to go on another journey following in their footsteps to declare that the move of the Holy Spirit has come. The move that they saw when they did this original 13 colonies prayer journey. They saw that this move of God is now in the land. Commissioned another forerunning prayer journey. To say the Lord is coming. The Lord is here. Kind of crazy because 14 years ago, Cindy Jacobs got a gun out, held it to my face. She has a gun. It's called a prophet's finger. She held it to my face, shaking. I ducked. And I began to repent of every sin I knew of and every sin I didn't know of, just in case. She gave me a word that 2 years prior, Terry Bennett had given in Kansas City. Word for word, you are a spiritual Paul Revere. I see you holding out a burning lamp. You're going to go from city to city to city, and instead of saying the British are coming, the British are coming, you're going to say the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. It's what Terry said, and she prophesied it word for word. She then said, and everywhere you go, revival is going to break forth. Now, we've been believing God for this for 14 years. We have seen during this glory procession such a move of the Holy Spirit. It's been so far beyond anything that we have experienced in our ministry in scope and in power. It's just been beyond compare. It's like someone turned the light on. Everywhere we go, I mean, people are coming from everywhere. Folks who just hear it, picked it up in the wind, they're coming. First time we started off in Jacksonville, Florida, I mean, we had a packed house. It was so packed they had to open up an overflow room. We'd never been to Jacksonville before. I mean, I've been once to Jacksonville years and years ago. But they heard, they knew something was going on. And everywhere we've gone, God is summoning His people who have made a covenant with Him by sacrifice. Because the same people that have labored, Jolene heard this from the Lord, and why don't you share this word? I think it's significant.
I heard the Lord say to me, I was just having my morning prayer time, and the Lord came, His presence came stronger than I'd felt it ever in our house. And the Lord said to me, pretty much, don't be amazed, He said, because the same ones who have put their shoulder to the plow are the very people I'm going to put my glory on their shoulders. And He said, I want you to announce to my people the ones that have plowed and plowed and plowed and done the hard work to plow up the hard ground of America. Those same shoulders are the ones I'm going to have my glory carried upon.
We can thank God for that word, right? So I'm very focused, and we're going to be very focused throughout this weekend on experiencing the glory, seeing His glory, summoning His glory by way of the gate facing east. It was interesting. The Lord gave us a mandate that we had to get the book Crown and Throne out by Thanksgiving of 2013. We had this gathering. The next place we came was here, to Valley Forge. We went from Valley Forge to Valley Forge. And it was actually we went here before we went to Valley Forge, didn't we? That's exactly right, because this is the first place, this house is the first place where Crown and Throne was released. Just before Thanksgiving. This book is all about the prayer expression of this new move of the Holy Spirit. This new move of awakening that God's bringing. We knew this book had to get out by Thanksgiving. And I remember sharing here about Thanksgivica, the convergence of Thanksgiving and Hanukkah. You guys remember that? Shared about how for the first time in hundreds of years, the American Thanksgiving is on the first day of Hanukkah. And how it's not going to happen again for another 4,000 years or something. It's an unprecedented intersection. God is speaking about something here. He's speaking about the covenantal legacy of the pilgrims who cut covenant with the Lord for the land. The covenantal legacy of the Maccabees who went up against the strongest army in the Mideast to retake the temple. They reconsecrated it by relighting the flame on the menorah. You say, well, that's really interesting. That's great history. Thank you very much for that history lesson. Can I tell you a secret? Went out to California, and James Gall invited me out to be part of a leadership roundtable, and Cheon was there. He convened it. And Che told a story about Bob Jones. How many of you know who Bob Jones is? Bob Jones pulled Cheon aside and said, Che, you know the new move of God that I've been praying for since 1983? You know the one that God said would combine the miracles of Exodus with the miracles of Acts. Exodus and Acts would be joined together. Passover and Pentecost would be joined together. God would fight a revolution against Pharaoh and his government and declare, let my people go. And an entire generation is going to come up from slavery to freedom. Glory of the Lord is going to rest on us, is going to come in by way of this east gate, is going to rest on us, cloven tongues of fire, going to light you up, Passover and Pentecost. That's what he was believing for. And Cheon froze, as Bob Jones said, this new move of God that I've been praying for all these years. The Lord spoke to me that on Thanksgiving 2013, it was released into the land. God gave Bob Jones a promise that he would live to see this new move of the Spirit of God. He'd see the birthing of it. Bob Jones died on February 14th, Valentine's Day of 2014. He is now part of the great cloud of witnesses cheering on you and me. Rick Ridings from Israel feels that it's now time for this move of God. Bob Jones prophesies that this new move of God has been released on Thanksgivica. You can't make this stuff up. Either these guys are really off, or we've stepped into something that we hardly realize the significance of.
We're on a phone call with Cindy Jacobs preparing for this. How many of you know we have a weekly phone call? You guys are all welcome to join us on that weekly call. We do regular postings as well. If you want to sign up, just go to lamplighterministries.net, hit the email button, and we'd love to sign you up. But Cindy joined us for the last prayer call before we started. And she said, you and those who join you are history makers. You have no idea the significance of the season that you're in. It's not going to make sense to you why God summoned you to do this journey until a few months from now, maybe even a few years ago, when you look back and you see how God orchestrated history, how history was aligned in accordance with this. You guys are history makers. You may not know it, you may not understand it, but you've been summoned for something that's much more potent than what you could possibly realize. We didn't know, for instance, that as we were doing this glory procession just yesterday, we were in New Hampshire. We stepped across a line of confinement that the enemy had erected and stepped into a new move to take the land. At the very same time, we didn't know this, but Israel was stepping across the line into Gaza. Throughout this journey, we've seen such a correlation with the God of Israel, and we've seen such a correlation with God's work in Israel. What's the point of Thanksgivica? That's what the Jewish folks across the nation called the convergence of Hanukkah and Thanksgiving. What's the point? Well, the Lord spoke to me that He wants our intersections this year to become convergences. And there are some convergences that He wants to actually become unions for the kingdom. So it's very important for you to watch who you are intersecting with. Because some of these intersections are meant by the Spirit of God to become convergences. And some of these convergences are meant to become unions. And the prominent union that the Lord wants is the union between America, covenant land, and Israel, covenant land. The dream of God's heart for our nation and the dream of God's heart for the land of Israel. Some people are very, very shy about praying for Israel because they hear about some atrocities going on. It's happening on both sides. We can't excuse those atrocities. The prophets addressed those atrocities. The prophets are continuing to address the atrocities. So when I pray for America, despite our atrocities, I pray for the dream of God's heart for our land. And that's how I pray for Israel too. Let's just stand to our feet and take some time to pray in the Spirit for Israel. Many of you know I had a vision back in 2000 of fighter jets taking off. Saw a fighter jet take off from Colorado Springs. Saw a fighter jet take off from Kansas City. And I saw a fighter jet take off from the Mid-Atlantic region. And they all converged over the Northeast, over New York, New England, and shot across to fight for Israel. I knew they represented prayer movements, and I knew about Kansas City, and I knew about Colorado Springs, but I didn't know that there was an East Coast prayer movement that God was going to bring. For 14 years, I've been praying for this move of God to take flight.
guess what? Tonight, as we pray this thing, we're going to take flight. Some of you are going to be eagles soaring. You're going to be able to see in the Spirit and launch fiery missiles from the Lord's throne that strike the targets even better than any target or rocket that's going on right now. Come on, pray. Lift up your voice. Pray in the Spirit. Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, God. The dream of your heart for Jerusalem, God. Lord, we say this prayer movement takes flight now, God, to fight for Israel and to fight for America. The dream of your heart for Israel. The dream of your heart for America, God. Sila bakayele meshai bakalamatia madoro rabatia bakate. Geveskia lamado shakabazikia lamado remekia galavatia majaba babandegia lamate. Befrede gia lamado rabakalemetia lamacholish takaya makalabatai. Mazokush nakaya mezekia lamado rabababababakai vesikia lamate. Badosha bakate. Bezikia lamando ramakaya matia mandosha katia mazekete amagoshikete. Sio rabababababababababakatatarabakatarabakayabatiyalabadoshakabakatai. Lord, we just declare your grace for Rick and Patty Ridings. We surround them with faith and hope and love and protection. Release your angels to have charge over them and keep them. And say, watch over Zion. And say, watch over the Mount of Olives. And say, watch over the Temple Mount, God. Gore shakabatia lemekia mazo shakatia masete. Release great grace, God, in Jesus' name. Great grace in Jesus' name. Spirit of revelation, God. Lord, amidst the chaos and the turmoil and the fear, draw the Jewish people back to you, God. Draw the people of Israel, Jew and Gentile together, to the Lamb of God. Shema Kaya Machaya Mazo Shema Chaya Vate. Resource the body of Christ, the body of Messiah, to be a light in the darkness that guides them, God. In Jesus' name. Sakama Kala Vate Machakush Nekete. Bezo shabaka vashimiskia lamado shakata. Miveskia lamado shakava dendiskete kir modushtakata. God, give Asher and Dan, Juster, and the messianic body of Christ favor, God. Favor, favor, favor. Lord, you said that they would go from being the last to the first, God. Give them the word of the Lord for this season, God, in Jesus' name. Sakamatia moloshtakete. And Lord, where there are submarines, interesting, where there are submarines off the coast of Israel, stealth submarines, God, cause them to be discovered, cause them to be found, cause them to be sequestered in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So in our glory procession, the Lord had us go to Fort McHenry en route to Philadelphia. We actually were in Annapolis, Maryland, ministered in Annapolis, went up to Fort McHenry. And you know how it talks about the fort being bombarded by rockets. The rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. All of a sudden, we shifted into high gear praying for Israel because that's where the rockets were being fired and the bombs were bursting in midair. Once again, I realized how the Star Spangled Banner was a prophetic oracle that prophesies to this hour of history. Do you know the Star Spangled Banner calls us a heaven-rescued land? Can we declare over America and Israel, heaven-rescued land again. Heaven-rescued land again. Heaven-rescued land in Jesus' name. When we started this journey, God gave us again Ezekiel 43. He led me to the gate facing east. And the glory of the God of Israel was coming in by way of the gate facing east. When the glory comes, even tonight, know that it's the glory of the God of Israel who's coming in. Here's something to think about. How many of you in this house are born again? That means I'm your brother and you're my brother, sister, and we're together in a blood covenant that is much thicker than even natural blood. Is that correct? Do you know it's the same with nations? When nations are founded in covenant with the Lord, your covenant with God makes us brothers and sisters. Our covenant with the Lord and Israel's covenant with the Lord makes us one before the throne. We are unique. We have our own identity, our own characteristics, but we are also inseparable. And so is every other nation established by covenant with Jesus Christ. He led me to the gate facing towards the east, and the glory of the God of Israel was coming in by way of the east. Ezekiel saw a storm cloud coming in by way of the gate facing east. How do I know it's a storm cloud? Because it's the same expression of God's glory that he saw when the glory departed from the church. Ezekiel in Ezekiel 8 through 10 describes the glory of God as a storm cloud with lightning flashing, tornado or a hurricane. He saw this holy hurricane lifting from the temple when God's people chose idolatry over him. In Ezekiel 43, he sees the glory coming back through the gates as a storm cloud. And when Jesus died on the cross and spilled his blood for us, 50 days later, the disciples were gathered in an upper room when they all together heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind, a storm cloud. Lightning broke forth and cloven tongues of fire began to rest on each one of them. The glory was restored because the blood was presented. So we go down to Jacksonville, Florida to start to honor the legacy of the Huguenots, to pray for God to establish their covenant in this hour. We had just a little bit of time before we started, so we did what any good tourist would do. We went to the beach. We haven't been in the sun a lot recently, so we really needed to go get a tan. So we went to the Jacksonville Beach. And when we got there, the sky was pretty cloudy. And the lifeguards were waving red flags because a few clouds had converged together and become a tropical storm right off the coast of Jacksonville, right as we were beginning our journey. These clouds became a tropical storm, unprecedented for late June, early July. The tropical storm became a hurricane that shot up the coast everywhere where we were just about to go. As we were beginning our journey, the storm cloud of the Lord, Hurricane Arthur. I've read it, that Arthur means chief of warriors. It's interesting that that hurricane actually touched ground on July 4th, late July 3rd into the morning of July 4th. You know the place where it hit the strongest was the Outer Banks of North Carolina. Place that suffered the most damage on July 4th was Kill Devil Hills. Kill Devil Hills. You can't make this stuff up. Was God saying, listen, the enemy may have claimed our land, but this land was founded by covenant with him. And he's coming in by way of the gate facing east. He's annulling the covenants with death. He's bringing a move of awakening. Never forget when Rick Ridings prophesied the commencement of the House of Prayer in Washington, D.C., prophesied from Isaiah 19. The Lord is coming on a swift cloud, and the gods of Egypt and the thrones of Egypt are going to topple. And I believe this is a sign of this spiritual revolution. God is toppling the pharaohs of our day. He is riding on the cloud. He is fighting a revolution to take down the thrones behind the thrones that have been rendered before his throne illegitimate. And he is reconstituting his purposes, his original intention for the United States of America. It's kind of exciting, isn't it? We're going to talk tomorrow a little bit about Daniel in the court of heaven. Daniel chapter 7. The Lord told us to rent Faneuil Hall on 7/22, July 22. Go back to the place where, as a young guy, I held a solemn assembly and we repented for the root sins of Massachusetts on May 7th, 1998. We asked God to marry the land again back in 1998. We asked God to start a spiritual revolution. I didn't know I'd have to wait so long, but I guess I was in process this whole time. Sorry it took so long. Because it was the very day after we did that Terry Bennett first prophesied that I was a spiritual Paul Revere. God is raising up many spiritual Paul Reveres. You're all over the house tonight. spiritual revolutionaries. This new move of God is a spiritual revolution. So it was very interesting. We were keenly aware of 722 when the Lord visited me in my prayer time at our home and spoke to me about why he had told us to rent Faneuil Hall. It's $1,500 to rent for 4 hours. We just rented it for eight. Added a couple of sessions. Dutch Seats and Chuck Pierce are coming. I hope you guys can all come. Jamie Fitt is leading worship with his team. And whoever wants to join in, I'm sure can be part of the team. That's just how they roll. But the Lord began to speak to me about why he called us to rent Faneuil Hall in 722. I said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said, "It's Daniel 722. And in Daniel 7:21, the horn is waging war. The horn, representing an antichrist spirit, is waging war against the saints and overpowering them. The saints of the Most High are expending themselves, doing everything they know to do to break through. Everything they know to do, they're confessing the word, they're marching as one, they are moving forward only to be pushed back, pushed down, and marginalized by a supernatural enemy. The horn was waging war with the saints and overpowering them until, everybody say until. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the Highest One, and the time arrived when the saints took possession of the kingdom. The judgment of heaven's court did what no measure of warfare could do. They were pressed down, afflicted, defeated, disempowered one day, and the next day, judgment is rendered on their behalf, and all of a sudden, the wind of the Spirit breaks through, and they are running to possess their inheritance. And the Lord said, that's exactly what he is bringing forth on 722. Judgment in favor of the saints. We are literally going to hold court. God's already rendered the judgment. There's nothing that can be done to stop it. He's just got a time and a procession to bring that judgment from heaven to earth. Got a call last week from a guy I consider to be a high-level prophet mentored by Bob Jones. He said, "Did you know that God is literally holding court and he's rendering judgment on 722? I said, "Really?" This guy, Gary Beaton. Lord, it showed him. 9 years ago, he presented a court case before the Lord on behalf of this nation that the government tied to idolatry and false illumination would be brought down and we would be freed as a nation to fulfill the destiny our forefathers lived for and died to give us, freedom. 9 years ago. And he knew that at this gathering in Faneuil Hall, the gavel was going to fall. You can't make this up. So I just want to say we're in a time. I don't really understand it. It's very interesting that our friend
from New Jersey, Cheryl Price, felt at this very same time to invite Dutch Sheets and Chuck Pierce to come. The only time that Dutch and Chuck had available, this is before we did our gathering, we were not in communication at all about this. The Lord spoke to her to have a turning point gathering in Trenton, New Jersey, because that's when the Revolutionary War took a turn. And we began to win. So she rented Patriots Theater on July 23rd for a gathering with Dutch Sheets and Chuck Pierce again to see a turning in this spiritual revolution. How many of you know Revelation 19 says that, you know, behold, I saw heaven open and behold a white horse. He who sat on it is called faithful and true. In righteousness he judges and makes war. He's going to judge on the 22nd and he's going to make war on the 23rd. And this Antichrist force is being restrained. And the saints are going to have free course all of a sudden. And this move of awakening is going to have free course. To set a new course for our nation. So we gathered together at this gathering place, this meeting place, this church in Metro DC. It's called the Gate DC. We gathered at the gate. He led us to the gate. Some of you were in the room. Began to share on Daniel 7 and some of the verdicts that the Lord gave. And I'm going to close with just one of the verdicts that the Lord gave, maybe two. Verdicts that the Lord gave, and then we're going to, I'll just turn it over, and then we're going to pray. As we gathered at the gate, and I began to share on Daniel 7, just sharing some of the things that are, you know, coming up this week. The unmistakable, tangible presence of God, the glory of God came in through the gate. Do you guys bear witness to this? Is that what happened? Am I exaggerating? You're saying, yes, I'm exaggerating. Jamie was leading worship. Cheryl Price started saying, all rise! All rise! Here comes the judge! And the Lord took his seat as judge on the throne over Washington, D.C. It was so interesting to me because, again, we didn't have much communication. And yet, Jolene and I had started off the year, New Year's Eve service, at the gate and Whole Word Fellowship there. There are two churches meeting in the same place. And the message was, here comes the judge. That God as judge, he's inviting us to invite him to take his seat upon the throne. Now, just as we declared this, the Lord has taken his seat as judge here on this covenant throne. Some of you participated this spring in a prayer initiative that dealt with shutting the gates of sabotage over our government and our financial system. When we were in Brunswick, Georgia, we went out to Jekyll Island with the group that was there. Jekyll Island is where the Federal Reserve was conceived. My friend John Benefiel, Apostle John Benefiel, says that the Federal Reserve is neither federal nor a reserve.
And there's a very few people who are getting extraordinarily rich off of the profits from the Federal Reserve. So we went out to pray. And we drove out Route 341. And as we were praying on site at Jekyll Island, a couple people began to be reminded of a word that Bob Jones had given of 341. And I didn't know what it was, so I texted my friend Randy DeMaine, and Randy texted back immediately that 341 was Bob Jones's vision of a blank check being given to the body of Christ. Now, we are praying for the wealth of the sinners to be transferred into the hands of the righteous according to the Word of God. We don't even know why someone's saying 341, that there's something, but all of a sudden a text confirms 341 is a blank check that God is giving the body of Christ. So I thought that was interesting. We prayed with fresh zeal and fresh faith for God to break down the enemy's corrupt financial structure that is empowering the few at the expense of many. We ask God for a wealth transfer for this blank check to be released, right? So we finish up. I look at my phone and it's 12:12 when we finish up. Thirteen minutes later, I get a text from our friend Joel, who's renting our house in Frederick. We live in Washington, D.C., so we rented our house to a Messianic Jewish believer named Joel. And his office, his work is a little late in paying him, so he had to wait, you know, for the rent check to be released and stuff. So anyway, I get this text from Joel. John and Jolene, comma, the money is in the bank. You can cash the check now. Joel. You can't make this stuff up. The Lord is saying that part of the reconstitution of His covenant purposes, He is releasing power to gain wealth, to establish the covenant that He swore to our forefathers. We are going to have a blank check. The money is already in the bank. I don't know how that works, but I know that there is a wealth transfer that has everything to do with what God's doing here in Connecticut. Two days later, we are in Charleston, South Carolina for 7/7/2014, the seventh anniversary of the call, Nashville, where Lou Engel led us in divorcing Baal and remarrying Jesus. It was the first time that this whole message on divorcing Baal went to the broader body of Christ on a global basis. And we knew the Lord was saying something, and He sent us to Charleston, a place where Masonry grabbed a foothold. Scottish Rite Freemasonry was birthed there. The headquarters moved from Charleston after the Civil War to just right up from the White House. In fact, when that earthquake came, their ceiling cracked. The ceiling of the Mother Supreme Council, where all the Masons go to receive their 33rd degree, cracked. The altar was damaged. The nut was literally cracked. At the same time, there was a historic building where Masonry was formed in South Carolina that was cracked in that same earthquake. we got up in the morning and we felt like before we went out, we had to go up. We're going to go on site to pray at some of these places. But first we went to a little island just next to Charleston called Daniel Island. And when we went to Daniel Island and we prayed together, I mean, it was just like we didn't even have to breathe and the court of heaven was in session. And all of a sudden I began to hear the verdict. This is what I heard from Psalm 125:3. The scepter of the wicked shall no longer remain on the land allotted to the righteous. The scepter of the wicked shall no longer remain on the land allotted to the righteous. And in this experience, I saw scrolls coming down from heaven. They were literally land grants. I saw land grants and inheritances that had been held up in the second heavens, held under the enemy's scepter. But the Lord was taking the hand and the scepter of the enemy and lifting it off. I believe that this is for us as a nation. Our land is covenanted to Jesus Christ. And the scepter of the wicked, the governmental scepter of the wicked, shall no longer remain on the land allotted to the righteous. And I knew this is for the body of Christ personally. All of a sudden, judgment is rendered in favor of the saints. And the scepter of the wicked must let go of the land allotted to the righteous. And the time came for the saints of the highest one to possess the kingdom. Let's all stand. Just open up your hands and just receive. Receive the verdict of the Lord. Receive the scrolls from the throne of God. Receive His verdict for you. Watch and see how the Lord removes the scepter of the wicked off of your land, off your generational line. Watch how what has been stolen from you generationally is released. Your inheritance all of a sudden is released. Now we just receive it now.
Chuck Pierce has been having 5:15 prayer every morning. And the day after this happened, I got a text message from my sister, and she said she was watching 5:15 prayer. And that a word had come forth that they were all putting their shields of faith up into heaven. And then they heard that as they put their shields of faith up to heaven, they were forcing the enemy into the courtroom of heaven. Pushing him literally up to the third heaven to be held in court. Now this is the day after all this began to unwind with us. So I just felt right now that we need to do the same thing. We need to do a prophetic act. We're going to push the enemy up to the court of heaven so the Lord can deal with them. For too long, we've been trying to deal with the enemy on our own. And the Lord wants to push him up into the courtroom so that he can be dealt with. And then you're going to be amazed as you see what the Lord does. Oh, we need you three up here, Janet. We all need to be praying on this one. Anyone have anything, Marios? No? You guys?
Say this with me, Lord. We ask that you open the scrolls of my family, of my state, of the church. Review where our inheritances have been stolen. The allotment of land, spiritually and naturally, has been taken by the enemy. We ask, Lord, that you review the injustices, forgive our sins and our forefathers' sins. We ask, Lord, that you make wrong things right. We ask for justice. We ask that you judge in our favor. And grant us lands, inheritances, covenant wealth. In Jesus' name. The wealth of heaven and the wealth of earth. In Jesus' name.
I also want to, the Lord's been talking to us. Part of what Rick Ridings told us at the Revolution Gathering was that we would be dealing with secular humanism the whole way up and down the coast, which we have found to be very true. But when we were somewhere just recently, the Lord spoke to me, I want to deal with religious humanism as well. And he was basically saying to me, it's where we in our own humanity think that we can take on. It's the same way secular humanism is. They think they're going to do it in their human strength. The Lord says the body of Christ has been feeling like they're going to take on the enemy in their human strength. So I'm just going to pray as well that we repent of religious humanism, because we can't bind down secular humanism if we have the same thing going on in the church.
So, Lord, we say forgive us for embracing humanism, saying that we are gods, that we have the answers. If we do everything right, then everything will go right. Forgive us, God. Forgive us of our sins and our trespasses. Forgive us for the spirit of control tied to humanism. Whoa. Now, Lord, just rescue us out of that. In Jesus' name, lift that off of your people. We're going to have a prayer time in just a little bit for... And we'll just step into this new move, and we're going to see some of this stuff lift.
I just have a declaration to make on the release of the wealth I have sitting on my altar that has been there for about 6 months, wrapped in a cloth, a cranberry plate with international money on it that I have been praying into. For several years, it had to do with a dream where I went behind, and this was back in England. It had to do with the Reformation in England. And I went behind enemy's lines, a huge black castle, and I took from a garbage dump a cranberry colored plate. That cranberry color is the cranberry glass that was made on Cape Cod. And it's, we have taken it up into the throne room, and because of that covenant with the pilgrims in Plymouth and on Cape Cod, that also their coming over here is tied in with the Reformation. Something happened then, I don't know exactly what, but something happened during that time where that money, particularly for people who came over from Europe, from the Celtic countries, something happened where monies were stolen at that time, and I don't fully understand it. But with what John and Jolene were just saying, there's a declaration to be made, because I have been praying on this for years, and it's only recently I've understood it. And so I just want to declare in the name of Jesus that the wealth of the wicked has been released into the church, Father God, in the name of Jesus, into every single individual saint, Father God, that wealth of the wicked and the resources from heaven will fall on this new move of God, of this new move of that apostolic explosion of the churches coming into the demonstration and the power of authority of God. We thank you that it accompanies this money that is going to flow and is going to fill the storehouses of the church in the name of Jesus. How?
Now, I just want you to see this. Do you have something? Sure, go ahead.
Just mentioned when I was praying this afternoon about the service, I used to see like silhouette visions, and I saw something in color today, and it was a scroll, and it was very ancient, and I was wondering what that scroll was, and you were talking about the scroll of inheritances, so I really affirm that I believe that's what the Lord was showing us.
Now, I want you to see this. This was the verdict that the Lord released on 7-8 of 2014 in response to the cries that we had on 7-14 and 7-7-2014. Even Ann Graham Lotz's prayer call ended on 7-7. And it was as if the Lord is releasing his verdict to America and to Israel that the scepter of the wicked shall no longer remain on the land allotted to the righteous. And you see within a week what's been going on. You see the IDF going in to take down Hamas, which has been sabotaging again and again the efforts of peace. Do you see that? So, Lord, we seal this in the name of Yeshua. We're going to continue in the court of the Lord. We're going to step into this new move of God. But we seal this time in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for establishing your justice and releasing the funds we know about and the funds we don't know about, releasing the giftings and the callings and the inheritances, God, that we know about, and those that we don't even know about, Lord. We say they are reconstituted in the earth. Say this with me, reconstitution. 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 In Jesus' name, amen. Marios, you may be seated. I have the honor of receiving the offering this evening, and one of the things we've always trained those who do this in our church is to never, ever, ever get up here to receive an offering and say stuff to make people give. Instead, say stuff that either establishes an atmosphere to give into or declare what kind of atmosphere is already there to give into. And the atmosphere is already set to give into. It's really as prime as I've ever seen it because of what's been spoken, of what's been declared, and the mountain of prayer on which this gathering stands. And we, I know that there are many, many prophetic voices and prophetic folk in this room tonight, and you'll understand this. I know that many of you see this, but there are voice-activated angels of generosity in this house that have been with us for a long time. And there are certain trigger words that set them off to begin to stir and pour gold out of horns. And the moment, the very first time tonight that John invoked God as a covenant-keeping God, the first time covenant was spoken, it was right after worship when you got up and you began to transition us into what followed. The moment God was honored as a God who keeps covenant, I felt it. The gold started pouring and the atmosphere started to be set for everything that's declared to take root and to bring forth fruit, but also for whatever sown into this atmosphere to bring the multiplication factor and to bring the maximization of its potential for transformation and reformation and revolution. Row 11 of Austrian Air's transatlantic flights is the best row to be in if you don't want to pay more for business class or first class. If you're going to fly economy, you want row 11, especially seat H. And I've done this flight about 15 times so far, so I know the planes, I know the boarding procedures. It's really fun because we Americans are more used to them calling rows, but they do it differently in Europe. They just kind of say, we're going to start boarding now. So I've learned to just kind of be ready and be there. In Cyprus, they don't even say anything. They just like say, come on over, Cypriot ways. But I always try to be in row 11. My travel agent knows exactly when the flight opens, and she jumps in there and grabs something in row 11 for me. And there's two reasons why I like that row. One is there's the most legroom you'll possibly have on a flight without being in business. But the second one is you're right behind business class, and if you aspire to live in that realm someday, can I hear a hallelujah from anybody? You want to sit in that seat and just declare and proclaim and prophesy into your destiny, which is what I've done. And this time, the business class world that I can see before they snap that curtain shut was full of Hasidic Jews. They're all in business class. And man, it was just such a picture for me for like 8.5 hours to know that those seats that are so desired, especially by the man holding this mic, were occupied by people who don't even recognize where the goodness comes from, who have a form of godliness but deny the power in the name of Yeshua. And I realized then something that I've always said, and something that was spoken of tonight, but it really sunk in, that we serve a God who honors his covenant. That's why they're in business class. Because he's a covenant-keeping God, regardless. And the moment he said covenant tonight for the first time, that angel right over here starts pouring gold. So I said all that to say that's the atmosphere in which we are giving tonight an offering. And I believe it will be a generous offering, not because there's manipulation and an appeal to try to get an offering, but there's a declaration that in this atmosphere, whatever sown brings up immediately the blade, the head, the full grain in the head. It's called increase. 30, 60, 100 fold. And then the Lord blessed him. Isaac, it says that man sowed and reaped 100 fold. And the Lord blessed him. Sounds like the blessing came after the 100 fold return. It's really good. He became a billionaire and the Lord blessed him. Father, you've already set this stage for so many things to happen and so many transformations to take place. And even as we speak and even as we prophesy and decree and declare things from this place, there are those in the heavenly realm whom you've appointed, the chancellors of heaven, that look into this and actually take note of how we do things and the government that is established in these meetings to declare it to the nations to do it like this. And there are angels that are voice activated that are stirred by words like covenant and great provider and wealth transfer, that they hearken to the voice of your word and they excel in strength. And we go from strength to strength because of them tonight in giving. So bless and honor these offerings. Multiply the seed, even while it's in the ground, according to your word in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And Lord, we ask that you will continue to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, that you will bless us as we sow into reformation for America tonight, right now, in Jesus' name. Janet, is there any direction about if we write checks, can you checks to Valley Shore and give generously? Hallelujah.
I love that word about voice-activated angels, because angels hearken to the voice of God's word. And it's interesting, when we prayed over all the states a month or so before we went on this journey, the Lord spoke to us about each state. Just prophetic phrase to pray. And so for Georgia, for instance, he spoke reconstitution state. For Massachusetts, he spoke spirit of revolution. I mean, that kind of makes sense. For South Carolina, he spoke Shiloh's scepter. And I totally didn't get that. I just wrote it down, prayed on it, but had no idea what the Lord was saying. And then on 7-8, when we were there, the scepter of the wicked shall no longer remain on the land allotted to the righteous. It's time for the scepter of the Lord to come in place. And for Connecticut, he spoke the voice of awakening. I want to say voice activated awakening. The moment we're going to come up front and do what we've done all the way up the coast, we're just going to line up and we're going to step into his new move together. But can you just stand to your feet now? Will you say this with me? We receive now your move of Holy Spirit awakening, voice of awakening, be released, word of awakening, be released, anointing of awakening, be released now. In Jesus' name. Let's come to the front. Where's Janet? Where's your thing? Not this far up. Take a few steps back. Now watch this. this represents the scepter. I know it represents the scepter of the Lord, but right now let's just imagine that it represents the scepter that has kept you in confinement, saying you can't go any farther, this far, no more. You're not going to step into the move. You can hear about it, but you can't step into it. This far, no more. Rick Ridings saw a serpent representing the spirit of humanism all up and down the 13 colonies. He literally saw the serpent from the "Don't Tread on Me" snake. How many of you know that when Moses was performing his miracles, the magicians dropped their scepters and they became serpents? Rick saw a giant eagle come and swoop up that serpent, break it in half. An entire generation was rescued from the belly of the beast. We'll be sharing about this tomorrow in real time. Not just sharing, but this is a prophetic experience that we all are experiencing together. I'm telling you that the scepter of the wicked no longer remains on the land allotted to the righteous. And this inheritance that is unique to New England of Holy Spirit awakening is yours to step into. So I want you to hold each other's hands. We're going to take two steps. We're going to take a step out of our past. We're going to take a step out of realms tied to witchcraft and control. We're going to take a step out of the past, letting go of those things that are behind us, so that when we step into the new, we're not bringing the old with us into the new. We're not bringing witchcraft into the new move of God. We'll take one step at a time at the count of thank you, Holy Spirit. Please come. Please bring your deliverance in Jesus' name. One, two, yeah, and the angels of the Lord be released. Three, come on, might as well just come on. Eager group tonight. Okay. Now just receive that scepter of the wicked being lifted off of you. Receive covenant restoration. Even now, the force that's been targeting you in the name of Jesus Christ is on the other side. The blood of Jesus Christ forms a boundary of protection that this force that has been assailing you, every ungodly tie, cut in the name of Jesus. Yeah, wow. Now we're getting somewhere. Okay, that's good. Move, Lord, move sovereignly in Jesus' name. Wow, okay. Thank you for your angels, Lord. Breakthrough, deliverance, wow. Sorry. We'll step forward in just a moment. Here, we want you back up, if it's okay. 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 At the count of three, Lord, we humble ourselves before you, and we are so grateful for the opportunity to step into this new move of God. Lord, we step into this realm of your Holy Spirit, this realm of awakening tonight in Jesus' name. The count of three, not two, three, okay? All right. One, two, three. Take your step. Yeah, there we go. How's everybody doing? Okay. If it's okay, I'd like to pray for some of you just to seal this. Lord, we just seal this. That we have. Can we say this? It's voice activated. We have stepped into God's new move in the name of Jesus. We are sealed for this new move. Amen. Jolene, would you come pray? Marios, would you mind coming? And would you guys come pray? Just. Okay, let go of each other's hands. Please let go of each other. I know your palms are sweaty by now. We'll just go ahead and just go right up and down and pray. I need someone. Can you work with me? Yeah, so glad you're here, brother.